Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking for an all-natural solution to skincare? Try SimpliCeta all-natural skincare products. Coconut oil locks in moisture with nature's finest organic solution. Rich with vitamin E and rejuvenating proteins, it can help with enhancing skin nourishment for wrinkles, skin damage, tissue repair, and more. SimpliCeta skincare line includes SimpliCeta coconut oil, SimpliCeta bath salts, and SimpliCeta bath gel. Get healthier looking skin today. Order all three today for $40 at www.simplyceta.com. And I know for a fact that it helps with diabetic edema. My husband has edema on both of his legs. He is insulin dependent, and he also has very dry skin on his feet and toes, and it has made a world of difference. You definitely want to go to www.simplyceta.com and order her products today. They do not have any unnatural ingredients or any preservatives. It is all simply coconut oil with maybe a little jasmine. Order it today. Are you looking for a website creator that will make your website stand out above the herd? Are you looking for someone that knows your needs and can create a website that is not only eye-catching, but one that will stay with the customer as they scroll through the net? If so, contact Wellhaven and Associates. Lourdes Wellhaven has the magic touch when it comes to websites. You give her an idea and let her run with it, and she will create something beautiful. If you don't believe me, check out authoryvonmason.com and see what she has done for me. And here's the great thing. If you contact her and give her my name, she'll give you $100 off. So don't wait. Don't delay. Call today or go online and look up Wellhaven and Associates and send her an email and tell her what you need. She will get back with you promptly.
The year, 1888. The place, London's East End. Dead and mutilated bodies are popping up all over, from Stamford to Whitechapel. Jack the Ripper is leaving his mark, and the city's on edge. Yvonne Mason is back with a tale of murder and millinery. The Rhodes Hat Factory is booming while the body count rises. Why now? How are these hats connected? Has the Hatter gone mad? Mad Hatter, Yvonne Mason. Available now on Amazon.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's Friday night. It's 8 o'clock, and if it's Friday night at 8 o'clock, you're with us at Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason, and I have to tell you, I am so, so excited for my guest tonight. I've just been beside myself. Couldn't wait for 8 o'clock to get here. And the reason being is because this wonderful young man and I have corresponded many, many times through Facebook. We've had a few debates. We agree on things. We disagree on others. But through it all, we have remained civil, and we have remained Facebook friends. And thank God for that, because I need all I can get. And not only that, but for those of y'all who don't know, today is a very special day. Today is Veterans Day. And today is a day we honor all veterans, and we honor them in such a way that is respectful and with love and with kindness, and understand that our veterans, both active, alive, and no longer with us, did something that I have to ask how many of us are willing to do. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice, going all the way back to the Revolutionary War. They left their homes, they left their families, they left everything they knew to fight for something they believed in. They didn't do it by throwing rocks through windows. They didn't do it by calling people names. They didn't do it by spewing hate and discontent. They didn't do it by saying they were protesting when it was really a riot. They did it by picking up their arms and saying, I am ready to sacrifice my life for something I believe in. So I ask each and every one of you tonight, how many of you, A, have thanked a veteran? And two, how many of you are willing to pick up that mantle and put it around your shoulders and say, here am I. I will go. Well, my guest tonight did just that. My guest tonight is veteran and radio host, and you noticed I put veteran first. And for him to be on my show tonight on Veterans Day, I feel so honored. Veteran and radio host Floyd G. Potts Sr. He is an up-and-coming talk radio host and founder of The Floyd Potts Show, which airs on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday night at 6:30. He has authored one book, Why Your Man Will Not Stop Cheating Until He Does This. And he says this book is a self-help book for couples struggling with infidelity. Well, if I got a man that's cheating on me, he's gone, either walking or feet first. I don't care. Been there, done that, divorce that sucker. Floyd's show is a self-help show that deals with just about every aspect of the human experience. And on his show, he endeavors to motivate people to be the best they can be. He's had an array of guests on his shows, from entertainers to political figures and religious leaders. He is a native New Yorker who now lives in Atlanta, and his experience and life travels are very, very vast. He is a veteran of the U.S. Air Force, and he served in the United Kingdom and in South Korea. His travels have enabled him to get a firm grasp on many different cultures inside the United States and outside. So with this perspective, Floyd tries to see things from the perspective of the other person, which I love. His main mission has and always will be information, education, and emancipation from self-inflicted hindrances. Welcome, my friend, and thank you, thank you, thank you for your service.
But thank you very much as well, Yvonne. Thank you. And it's, I tell you, I'm humbled. I'm humbled. It's just really an honor to be on your show. I'm looking forward to this show. As you said, we've had our conversations on Facebook and everything, and we've agreed and we've disagreed, but nonetheless, we have not unfriended one another, because I believe that we both understand that the way you get to understand one another is you must, in some cases, disagree and agree, and then allow one another to share. So I'm looking forward to that this evening, this Friday evening. Here in Atlanta, Georgia, it's kind of chilly, but I'm looking forward to our conversation. Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
You're welcome, and we'll get you warmed up with lively conversation. Before we get into the meat of the matter, if you've listened to any of my shows, you know that I start my show off with my guest letting the audience get to know them a little bit, because I firmly believe that if my audience knows my guest on a personal level, then they're more inclined to buy the product, see the product, do the product, whatever the product is, because they want to know more about my guest. So with that being said, how did you get, first of all, what motivated you to become a service personnel? Why did you leave New York to go to the Deep South, where the Southerners are wonderful, warm people, and I know they have embraced you. If they haven't, let me know who they are. I'll take care of it.
Okay.
And just a little bit about Floyd Potts, because you are an amazing person.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, first I'll say regarding the Air Force, I came up, as you said, I came up in New York City and everything, and then it was the late 70s. I had just started college. I wanted to get married, and it was a tough time economically, I'll say that. It was hard for me to do college and then also be married and provide for just a wife and everything. So I looked at my options. I had an uncle who had been in the Air Force many years. He was in the Air Force in the 50s. And I looked at the five different branches that are there, and it came down to a choice between the Marines, because Marines and the Navy, they've got awesome uniforms. I mean, they've got awesome uniforms. And then it came down to the Air Force in terms of, you know, which direction I wanted to go into and what career field. So I ended up in the Air Force at that particular time frame. That was my decision there to join the Air Force. And I was in the Air Force for a little under 10 years, and I got an opportunity to travel all throughout the United States and then also spend about 3 years in England, and then a year in South Korea, and then I came back to the States. My last duty station in the United States was in South Dakota, and then I got out and eventually relocated back to New York. Ended up in Georgia. Well, I had gotten a divorce, and it was a rough divorce. It was a real rough divorce. And my mother, she was originally from Georgia herself. And I thought, well, where do I want to go? Georgia, for me, it was always a second home, because as a child, every summer when I got out of school in New York, my mother always sent me to Augusta, Georgia, where she was born and raised at. So I ended up getting a divorce and becoming a single dad, and I came down here with my three younger sons. That's what brought me to Georgia. I wanted something different for them, but more importantly, I wanted something different for myself as well, in terms of, at that particular time, putting some space between me and then my ex, because it wasn't a very amicable situation as we were ending things. So that's what got me here in Georgia. A little bit about me. I'm a people person. I've already said I'm a single dad, and one of those graduated from high school. The youngest graduated from high school this year. The one right above him graduates from Alabama State on the 9th of December, which happens to be his birthday as well. So I'm very proud of both of them. The older of the three, he actually went back to Pennsylvania some years ago. I'm here in Atlanta. I'm an author. I've written one book, and I've got another one that I'm finishing up. People person, in that I enjoy sitting and talking with people, listening to people. I enjoy seeing people smile. That's the one thing. Some people say maybe in some cases I'm too friendly, but you can't change who you are.
In terms of
a good thing. I think a bad thing you can get rid of, but I think your innate, you know, if you're a people person, you're gonna be a people person no matter where you're at. And I have no intention of changing that, because I do enjoy that and everything. Up and coming radio talk show host, been on the air now going on 6 years. Looking forward to being a very successful motivational speaker one day, because that is my passion. Once again, I enjoy being able to say something to people to encourage them, and I also enjoy hearing something from people that encourages me as well.
And that brings me to my second question. Why is self-help, and I know the answer to that, because if we aren't willing to help ourselves, we can't expect anyone else to. But other than that, why is self-help and self-improvement important to you?
I think the main reason, when I was growing up in New York during the 70s, I smoked cigarettes, I did drugs, things like that. And I tried for years during that time frame to break that habit. This was from 72 as a 12-year-old, ironically, until the age of 18, when I was able to finally break things. When I'd say it was October of 1978, I was 18 years old. I just turned 18. My birthday is in August. And I had stumbled across a book by the late, great Dr. Norman Vincent Peale called The Results, or rather should I say, Positive Thinking, a book on positive thinking, which is a self-help book. And after reading that book, October of 78, and practicing the different principles and techniques that are in that book for those 2 months, December 31st, 1978, I put everything down as a result of that book. And then my faith increased as a result of that book, that self-help book. from that, I came to the understanding that we know we, most of us, believe in God, which is on the outside of us, and some believe on the inside of us. But what I learned from that book at the end of the day is that self-reflection and acknowledgement is the best way to make change. So from that point to this point, I've always looked at Floyd. I've always looked at myself in the mirror. And where there are things that have to be adjusted, I've always looked at myself and said that basically if it is to be, it's up to me. If it's going to get changed, I must first acknowledge within myself that there's a problem, there's a challenge, and that the change must come with my attitude, not someone else's attitude. And so from that point to this point, I kind of got stuck on that. That's my passion because I've been able to live that and experience that. And, I've still been through some bumps, as we all have, but I've come to the understanding that whenever I've gone through bumps, even the so-called bad marriage that I spoke about earlier, I looked at myself and said, okay, there's two people there. What was my side? What was my side? Because my side wasn't all good. What was my side that was bad? And then how can I correct that for myself? Because the only way I'm going to get better is I've got to correct it. I've got to look at it. So that's what brought me to self-help. That I find it's nothing like being able to really acknowledge for yourself you got an issue and then say, okay, how do I change that issue and then take those steps.
So do you agree that once we step out of that river that runs in Egypt, you know, the river called denial, and we look at ourselves stripped naked of all of our excuses and petty attitudes and the mask that we cover ourselves up with, and we stand there and we say, okay, what is my part in this, whether it's a relationship, whether it's the riots on the street, whether it's politics, whether it's going to the grocery store and yelling at the cashier because maybe we stubbed our toe on the way out the door and it pissed us off, so we're going to take it out on them. Do you agree that when we come to the realization that change begins with us and we have to accept our flaws and our shortcomings and turn them into our greater strengths, then and only then can we help someone else?
I agree wholeheartedly because, I mean, and until you get yourself together, you can't fully help someone else. I think, I say fully because I think you can partially help someone in that you may not have gotten yourself fully together, but then they can see something in you that may allow them to look at themselves. You may have point case. You may snap at everything everyone says. You may just have an outright negative attitude. It doesn't matter what someone says. You've got a negative attitude. Sometimes that person that you're dealing with can see this and say, that kind of sounds and looks like me, and then make an adjustment themselves. But I think to fully help them, we have to fully deal with ourselves. The reason why I said Yvonne is because let's say if that person is someone you're in a relationship with, they're around you all the time. They can see that negativity that you're bringing out and say some of that they see themselves bringing out. But unless you make the adjustment, it's going to be hard for them to fully heal and be cleared up around you because you're continually still bringing the negative charge to them where they're
exactly
trying to be positive themselves. But you've still got stinking thinking yourself. So you're hurting them. So once you deal with Floyd, deal with Yvonne completely, then now all of a sudden – they may say, wow, this is, I'm with a new person here. Let me make some of the full adjustments. Let me change myself, get rid of the bad.
And do you agree or not that when we are looking at others, say, for instance, I'm talking to you and I say, you know, that Floyd, and I'm talking to somebody else and I'm saying, you know, that Floyd Potts, he's overbearing, he's domineering, he's narrow-minded. In reality, the flaws that I'm seeing are my own flaws, but I am too close-minded, selfish, for lack of a better word, sometimes stupid acting to admit that I have those flaws, but I'm so ready to pull yours out.
And that's just, I think that's because we live in a society where, I'm not a psychologist, but I'll say this, with narcissistic personality traits, I won't say the full disorder, but some of the traits are prevalent and evident in the lives of a lot of us, that we see the other person's issues, and in reality, those are the issues that we have. That's how we're able to recognize them, because we have them.
Exactly. You know? And before the show, we were having a discussion that you were going to save for the show, and that's leading, that was the segue into the discussion that, in my humble opinion, the people who are allegedly protesting, why? How many of those people do you think went to the polls and voted? How many of those people went out and canvassed? How many of those people campaigned for their candidate and said, okay, I've done all I can do? How many of them actually did that, or how many of them are acting like spoiled children that didn't get their way, and now they're going to act out like two-year-olds? I mean, I am for protesting. My sister would protest with the best of them, but it was a peaceful protest. It was not tearing businesses and being destructive. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I'll go with this here. I like you use that phrase, peaceful protest. I remember when I was in the military, I was stationed in England during a time where Margaret Thatcher was prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
And the coal miners went on a strike, coal miners. And they figured that they would have a peaceful strike, and they would be able to sit out this woman, because once again, Margaret Thatcher was the first female leader of England, and they figured that they can outdistance this woman, that she would be emotional, and eventually she would fall over, and you know how they want to portray women as being so weak. She's gonna just fall over and say, okay, please come back to work. You know, well,
not Margaret Thatcher.
Two years later, they came crawling back to work for less than what they were asking for, because they had a peaceful protest. And Margaret said, okay, I figured that's how this was going to be, because you didn't know what he was dealing with, because when you have sometimes a peaceful protest, sometimes it does not move the powers to be. Now, there's a time for everything under the sun. I'm going to steal a biblical moment here, the book of Ecclesiastes, third chapter. I'm going to steal that.
It says, there's a
time for everything under the sun. There's a time for peaceful protest, and then there's a time when the protest is not peaceful. I'm not for killing people. I'm not for going and knocking people upside the head. Not for any of that. But I can understand to an extent the people that are out there. We will never really know if they voted unless they say they did, or if they hit the streets with door to door or canvassing for their candidate. We will never really know that. I can appreciate their frustration in that. I have to believe we're talking about those who voted for Senator Clinton, and that they honestly believed that she was a shoo-in.
Mm-hmm.
Because Donald Trump, a New Yorker like myself, you never underestimate a New Yorker, but a New Yorker like myself, Donald Trump, it seemed like he said everything that a person could say to get themselves not elected. Okay. So when he pops up elected, like the rest of the world, I think even he was shocked. It just made those people that are out there right now cringe, and they said something's amiss. How do we let the powers to be know this will not sit well with us, and that we need to change something with this electoral votes versus the voice of the people.
All right,
they're letting off steam.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
In my opinion, and again, ladies and gentlemen, Floyd and I do this all the time on Facebook, and we are both allowed our opinion, and we do it in a civil and kind manner because we respect each other, and this is called discourse and conversation, and it's not hate-filled, and it's not over-the-top, and when we get off the show tonight, he is going to come back and even co-host shows with me. This is how friends work. So with that disclaimer, told you this show's off the chain. We just forget tonight's notes. We just carry on here. In my opinion, I feel like that the media perpetrated that, and I'm going to call it a fairy tale, that fairy tale of Hillary is going in no matter what, because
I agree.
They said, oh, she's got all these states. She's already got all these electoral votes out here. They're already in her pocket. She's already got her transition team working. She's already picking out the carpet. So understand, there's no way in hell that Donald Trump is going to win this election. What the media refused to see was the undercurrent of the silent majority, and I'm talking about blue-collar workers, black, white, green, purple, that lived in the outlying areas that have been quiet for years and years and years and years. And, you know, it's like a volcano. After a while, it bubbles to the surface. And, yes, Trump said everything under the shining sun that should not have gotten him elected, but it awakened that volcano.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. It did do that, and then, I mean, Yvonne, you hit it on in a nutshell. I don't think it mattered, would have mattered who was running against her. I think that starting last year, it kind of rubbed a lot of people wrong that when on the Democratic side, the question was asked, well, who was going to run against her just in the primaries?
Right.
And it's basically like, no one. Well, hold on now. This is not how this process goes. There's got to be somebody. Oh, no, this is her turn. Oh, so
really?
In other words, what you're saying, yeah, really. So you're saying, yes, we want a woman president one day, but what you're saying to us is that we have a choice, but we really don't have a choice.
Right.
So I think there was two things. The undercurrent you talked about on Trump's side, which he benefited from, and then the other thing is that a lot of people are actually pissed off. That how dare you basically say my hands are tied, because I was going for Bernie Sanders, to be honest. And that was the case that, you know, on Facebook that early in the year, that's where my was. So when I went to the polls, I kind of felt, I almost just wrote in this Tuesday. I almost just wrote in because I wasn't going for Don, and I really didn't want to go for her either. And I think a lot of people felt like that, and I think that some people were so excited about the notion of just having a woman as the president, they never considered the woman that was being placed up there, and as you said, being stuffed down our throats
and
by
it was
the
almost,
media.
And it was a, it was
know?
An personally, and again, my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, so don't go off the rails here. In my opinion, I was watching this thing unfold. It was almost as if they said, you Democrats are too stupid to know what you want or who you want. She's been in this cycle for years, and she is going to be coronated, and we don't give two rat's asses if you want Bernie or not. The fix is in for Hillary, and that is wrong. We are a republic. Anybody can run. You don't stack the deck. And I think what also made the Sanders supporters like yourself even angrier is when it all came out of the cutting off at the knees, so to speak, they did to him between the DNC and everything they did. And then Bernie says, I'm sick and tired of discussing of hearing about your emails. Well, the emails is what got him kicked to the curb.
The emails. Remember during the debate when it's a debate. Debates get heated, and
exactly.
Then she tried to pull the woman card at that point. Well, how dare he speak down to a woman like this? This is a debate.
And she's a politician. She's running for office. She's not a woman. Just like my granddaughter.
Right.
When I was in Georgia, when we ran from the hurricane and we were checking out of a hotel room, you know, I told you my granddaughter's the first female in our family that has gone into the service. So I'm talking to this veteran. He's an Air Force veteran. And I'm telling him about how proud I am of her. And he says, well, tell her don't go in the Army. I said, why not? He says, tell her to go in the Air Force. I said, why? He said, because they're not as hard on women. I said, wait a minute. Excuse me. I said, she is not a woman. She is a soldier. Do not use that card. He said, well, she'll never have to sleep on the ground. I said, she's a soldier. That's what a soldier does.
Yeah.
He didn't know what to say. So, and I feel the same way about Hillary. You can't pull the woman card if you're playing in that arena. You are a politician,
right.
Period. There's no gender.
Exactly.
So put on your
plain
big girl panties and suck it up.
Suck it up. You know, and I think from that point forward, you know, I looked at it and I had friends that came at me hard because they saw stuff I was posting on Facebook. And they would call me and they said, well, kind of seems like you're going against Hillary. I said, I am. And I always made the comparison to Margaret Thatcher. You know, as I was saying, me being over there when she was prime minister, always said there have been female leaders in the world. That's nothing new. It's just this country
exactly.
Does not have a female president. But females have been leading for thousands of years. That's nothing new. The mindset that some people have, a woman can't lead because of this and that. Well, then you're ignorant of history because women have always led when they have been called to lead. And so,
all right, let's go back to the Bible. Remember Deborah?
Oh yes, and we're,
the
and
men
Barack.
Were so weak.
The
God said,
"I'm the president's getting out of there." Go ahead.
Yeah, because the men were so weak. God said, "I'm going to put a female in charge," and He did.
He did. She had to help Barack.
Right. And Cleopatra. The queens of England. I've been reading English history, and those queens were meaner than all get out.
The queens were mean. You had queens in African civilization, Queen Nziga of Angola. So the prime minister of Israel at one point, the prime minister of India. So the notion that this is some new thing for women, that's born out of ignorance of history. The challenge is, though, and for me, with this one, the challenge for me with this one was that, to me, this one was not there on her stripes. To me, Margaret Thatcher was prime minister because of her stripes. A lot of people, her husband was known as a drunk. He was not
right.
Known as a powerful man. He wasn't a powerful man. In this situation here, and I said it years ago, even when she ran against the current president, she was there on her husband's coattail, not on
yep.
her own stripes, not on her own stripes, not on her own stripes, not on
and,
her
and
own
stripes.
And that's
changed because if she had built her, as you say, built her own stripes, had a platform that was real and instead of made of sand,
right.
She might have had a better chance. And it's a shame. I agree. At some point in time, we will have a, God forbid, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but because we can't get past the gender thing, a female president. But
yeah.
It has to be one who is the mindset like a Margaret Thatcher. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, don't get your panties in a wad because what I'm fixing to say. Women operate differently than men. Women operate on emotion, and men operate on logic. Margaret Thatcher did not operate on emotion.
She didn't.
Hillary Clinton.
And you know who's taking notes from her? You know who was taking notes from her?
Who?
Remember, Ronald Reagan.
Yes, exactly.
Because he was following Margaret Thatcher. He was following Margaret
exactly
Thatcher
right.
Because she was a very strong leader. She was a conservative. She was a very, very strong leader who said, here's my position. This I'm standing on my position, and that's my position. Period.
And deal with it or not.
And deal with it. And deal with it or not. And like I said, the way she dealt with those coal miners, and when they went out there, they just knew they had it. Oh, we'll get it. Oh, she'll bend. Okay, mates, hang in there, mates. 6 months. Mates, hang in there. It's getting cold out here. Hang in there, mates. Hey, we get not eating. Hang in there, mates. And she knew. She said, no, okay. All they're getting is the dole, unemployment. They can't live off of that. They get a few government subsidies. They can't live off of that. Okay, I'm going to outweigh them. And as a result, Ronald Reagan did the same thing with the air. As a matter of fact, with the air traffic controls, the difference
yes.
is he tried to do that, then he ended up having to fire them. He ended up having to fire them. Remember, and he and we had trouble planes falling out the sky for a minute. But he was following Margaret Thatcher's blueprint for leadership.
And that's where, sadly, that's what Hillary lacked. I call it a moral compass
mm-hmm.
because everything about, sadly, her campaign was, like you say, riding in on her husband's coattails. Well, he's not been president in a minute. So
right.
That's in the past. You can't bring the past into the future because that's like the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. And she had no solid platform to say, okay, I did this and this and this and this, because everything she did was based on his presidency. Everything.
Right. No original idea. No, you know, what
yeah.
people wanted to know. And even though Donald Trump, and the thing, if you look at it, with Donald Trump really didn't say what he would do. But it didn't matter, though. It didn't matter because
no.
you've got a non-politician going against a politician who you would think would have their own platform. But she didn't. She was bringing us Bill's plate. Here's Bill's plate. This is what Bill had on his plate. So I'm going to. It's an old plate, like you said, it's been a minute, but it's still Bill's plate. And look, you accepted Bill, now accept me as well, because you guys love Bill. And in the
and,
black
and so
community,
you gotta
you guys
love
actually
me.
Said Bill was the first black president.
Right, and you got to accept me because I'm his wife. Well, the thing
yeah.
is, Hillary sadly betrayed, and we're back to your book, Hillary betrayed, if we're going to play the female card, let's play it all the way around this circle. Hillary betrayed women by staying with Bill and enabling Bill with his infidelities.
In the White House.
In the White House.
In the White House.
In the people's
over
house.
And over again.
And in the people's house. Not their house. In our house.
In our house.
And we paid them
and
to do that.
Paid them to do it. And just said, oh, it's all right. Well, stayed in there through that mess. Whereas a Margaret Thatcher, you didn't have that nonsense and
no.
everything. You didn't have that type of scandal that, okay, I'm gonna let him run all over me, and I'm gonna show that I'm gonna stick in there, no matter how much he steps all over me. Women, I think most women win sense by that. So hold on a minute now. There's one thing of standing by your man. But it's another standing up under your man. The record
exactly.
says stand by your man, not stand under him. And that's what that came to.
And if she did that as the first lady, and she did not have, excuse the language, people, but again, this is off the chain, okay, because this is just the way it is. If she did not have balls enough to kick
right.
his head butt to the curb, then how would she have balls enough to stand up to, say, Russia that might have their finger on the button?
Hello.
I rest
let's
my case, Your Honor.
There you go. Because you think about that. Okay, he's got his finger on the trigger. He said, well, hold on a minute. Let's talk. Hold on. We can't talk. No, I've got to put my finger on the button now.
Right.
I mean, if you got your finger on the button, I got my finger on the button. Now, if we both want to talk, okay, let's see you put your finger off the button first, because you put yours on the button first, then I'll pull mine off. But if you're not going to pull yours off, then goodbye. Goodbye to you and goodbye to me.
A game of chicken.
A game of chicken.
And then she would, pull the female card. Oh, poor pitiful me. Nobody understands me. And then she would get shrill and she would blame everybody for everything instead of saying, wait a minute. I'm going to outweigh.
Well, she lost the election and she blamed Obama.
Exactly. Oh, and Comey. She blamed Comey, too.
Comey and Obama. And the thing about it, for me, I looked at when the control room, when they got Osama bin Laden. Everyone in there is focused on the camera, and she's got her hand on her face.
Yep.
So if you've got your hand on your face as the Secretary of State, how is the commander in chief, are you going to have, as Minister Farrakhan said one time, the testicular fortitude, okay, to say, okay, Russia's talking tough. Okay, we got to call their bluff. We got to call their bluff. We gotta let them know that we're not going to have this. We're not gonna have this, and not say, well, they're talking tough, but let's go over there and let's fly over there on taxpayer dollar and beg Putin to not talk. Don't talk so tough. I remember Putin. I'm a woman. Don't talk to me like that. That's not like that's. You're not being a gentleman.
Well, and. I've worked with men all of my life. I've been in corporate America all of my life. And another thing that women do, which is the reason I don't like most of them and just tolerate a few of them, is they don't, because I don't think like them. They hold grudges. They get out for revenge. They don't know how to have a disagreement with each other and then go out and have a beer and move on.
Yvonne, I blame reality TV for that.
Women have been doing it since the beginning of time.
Okay.
Because it's the way they're wired. Women are wired different than men. And
I agree.
They don't know how to be logical. Unless they do as you and I talked at the top of the hour, unless they look at themselves and say, wait a minute, this is the way I'm wired, but this is not the way that I have to behave.
But let me ask you this. Don't you think, I hear what you're saying in terms of how they're wired. I sometimes feel sorry for some women in that I see some women who become the CEO, and some of them almost appear like they feel like they've got to act masculine in order to own that position, as opposed to bringing the woman's unique energy to that position. I find so many of them that when they take that position, it's like everyone around them expect them to. I mean, she's the CEO. The CEO doesn't say you're a man or woman. The CEO, it's a title. It's a title.
Right.
But
and you have to have balance.
So many things, you have to have balance. But I see so many, Yvonne, it seems like once they get that position, so many people want them to lose their femininity and to act hardcore. I'm the boss now. And, you know, I'm going to, you know, you look at some of the clothes they may wear. They may even wear the masculine clothing, you know, and I feel for some of them, because I feel some of them, you know, they want to own that position. And they want to own it with their energy. And I think that's why some women go ahead and start their own company. That way they truly define that position as I'm a CEO, I'm the boss, but I'm still a lady. I'm not the boss and acting like a man.
In the South, we have a saying, and growing up with a Southern mother and a Southern grandmother, you've probably heard it, especially in Augusta. And it's called having an iron fist and a velvet glove.
True.
Because Southern women are some strong women, and they're strong because they had to be. But they
right.
also though, they also were feminine. In other words, back to the CEO. As a general rule, when women get that high up in power, they have this feeling of insecurity. Well, somebody's going to come and knock my legs out from under me because I'm a woman. They're going to say I'm not good enough because I'm a woman. They're going to do this because I'm a woman. They're going to try to run me over because I'm... So they go to the other extreme and lose that uniqueness about them. But if they have balance, if they're confident enough in themselves, knowing they got the position on their own merit and they're worthy of the position... They believe in who they are, how they got there, and what they're going to do with that position, then they don't have to go to the extreme you were talking about. Because, number one, they will not only demand respect, but they will command respect. And that's two different entities. I've had many bosses that demanded respect, but I couldn't stand them. They were never able to command my respect because I didn't really respect them. I just put up with them. But a good CEO not only demands the respect of the people under them and the people lateral of them, they command the respect. They draw those people into them because they can't help but being drawn into them. Women who are truly comfortable in who they are, where they are, and how they get there have that balance.
I agree. And I guess that's why I always look at a Margaret Thatcher. Because
yes.
I felt like she had that balance the whole time she was prime minister. I don't think I ever saw her wear a masculine suit, you know. She carried herself with the authority. She commanded respect. She got respect. And that's, I think, she did three terms, either two and a half or three terms. But she maintained that. But I think that's a rare one, you know. I think that's that rare one that has that security within herself. And even when a man that has that security within themselves to say, well, this is who I am, and I love myself, number one, because I think that I bring something to the table that attracts people to me that are going to help me because they understand that I've got a clear vision that's going to benefit the majority of us. And I think that person, you want to follow that person.
You learn from that person. We've come full circle back to what happened with Hillary. She did not demand the respect. She could not command the respect. And during the campaign, I watched her like a cork in the water. When Trump would come out with a new platform, before long, I would see her pulling it and making it hers with a few variations. And one day I was listening to television, and I hear this platform, and I turned and I thought, that's Hillary speaking. That's Trump's platform. So she could not build her own platform because she, A, did not have balance. Two, she could not demand respect nor command it, and she was not secure in who she was and because she enabled Bill in the past.
I agree 100% because, I mean, right there, you said, Yvonne, the key word, secure. How can you be secure with the world watch you stomach nonsense from your husband?
Exactly.
Now, conversely, Donald Trump has had the three wives, but I'll say this as a man, that's where we get unfair. That's when we get unfair there, that men, we do certain things and we expect to get away with them. We expect.
Because you're men.
But now, because we're men. But now on the other side, women, certain things, well, no, we can't. We can't let you get away with this. So I think her security was gone years ago, and I think she just hung in there because the payment was, as you said earlier, we're going to coronate you as the president. Hang in there, Hillary. Don't worry about everything that Bill is doing. Don't worry about all these women he's got coming in and out, these young women. Don't worry about, yeah, I know they're younger than you. They're doing stuff you can't do anymore. But don't worry about that, because we're going to let you, not elect you, but we're going to let you. You're going to be the first female president.
You're going to break that glass ceiling.
You're going to break that glass ceiling, even though you don't have an agenda, even though you don't have an original idea. Don't worry about any of that. We're going to get you in there because the United States, they just elected the first black president. Surely,
exactly.
They're ready for a woman. Surely they are.
And,
we are.
And I would have said yes, they're ready for a woman, but not that woman. Because
not that
she
woman.
Has sadly, and I've watched this woman since she was in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Women who have leadership skills don't have to have a machine to clean up their husband's messes. They don't have to threaten women to get them out of their husband's lives. They don't have to say, well, my husband did thus and so, and I'm going to put my husband back in charge of thus and so when I'm your president. They don't have to do that. Because they are secure in who they are. And the reason that I'm so passionate about women being secure is I spent the first 30 years of my life not feeling like I was worthy or good enough for anything.
Mm.
And I woke up one day and I said, what in the hell are you doing?
Okay.
And when I looked at myself in the mirror and I literally stripped my complete soul and started peeling back the layers, and I found the core problem. I said, you know what? You're pretty darn good the way you are.
Mm.
If others can't accept you, that's not on you, that's on them.
It's on them.
And I got rid of all the negative people in my life.
Self-reflection.
Exactly. The same thing. And now we've come full circle back to the beginning of the conversation. That is what Hillary does not have. She does not have self-reflection.
She's yeah. Because I was going to say that's the one thing. Maybe had she done that, maybe had she owned up to some stuff, maybe had she made corrections, maybe had she said, you know what, the emails – well, not even the emails. Maybe, okay, Bill, listen, I understand what you did, but I got to go ahead and let you go. I forgive you, Bill, but I've got to let you go. I got to let you go because, you know, I forgave you for this, but then the Monica Lewinsky stuff, the continuation of this, I've got to let you go. But you still didn't let him go. Okay, after he got out of the White House, hey, Bill, I stuck with you in the White House because I didn't want you to be the first president who got a divorce as president. But I've got to let you go right now because now I've got to show the world that I can stand on my own stripes. I can stand on my own legs. I've got to start making my own mark. She never did that. Even from the beginning, she was a Barry Goldwater girl. She's always been someone has always been walking her through the door.
Yes.
She went from there to Marion Edelman, I think it was, maybe Edelstein. Not Elsie, but in the early, when she was involved in the Children's Defense Fund. It's always been her holding on someone's coattails. Now, I know we all need mentors. We all have to have a mentor to open the door for us. But like James Brown used to say, Yvonne, he said, I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Just open up the door. I get it myself. Once the door is open, then it's showtime.
And when the door is open, it's... You can get every opportunity in the book, but if you don't walk through that door and you don't make that opportunity work for you on your own merit, then it's wasted. The mentorship is wasted.
How can we have you as a leader? It's wasted.
Exactly.
How can we have you as a leader? If you ask me to open the door for you, I open it, and then you step inside, and then you look back at me and grab my hand and say, well, can you walk through here with me and say, okay, and I walk you to the next door. Okay, this is your door by yourself, Hillary. Now you walk through this one, and then you say, well, you'll let my hand go, and you grab somebody else's hand. But that's a child.
Exactly.
That's a child. At some point, you have to mature, and that never happened.
And now we're back to the riots in the streets and the safe places and the coloring books and the Play-Doh and the pacifiers. You know, they say they're grieving. They don't know what grief is. Lose your granddaughter and then lose your father 6 weeks later. Lose your 13-year-old granddaughter and lose your father 6 weeks later. That's grief.
I agree.
Because you remember that happened to me. Did I roll up in a fetal position and shut everybody out of my life and blame the world because my grandchild died and my father died? No. I put on my big girl panties and I said, God's got this. He's got the bigger plan. I don't know what the plan is. I'm moving forward.
Have to.
So all these children that feel like they're grieving because woman with no gonads, and I keep using that word, it's the strongest language I can come up with, could not get across the finish line, they need to put on their big girl boy panties and get back to work. If they really want a strong female leader, they need to start finding one and working toward that end. Agreed?
I agree. You know, Yvonne, I had placed that on Facebook. I don't know if you saw that. I had placed it on Facebook, you know, under there's a picture of Hillary, and I had placed it there, and I had said that, you know, one day we will have a female president. I said, but
yes,
it's not this one.
That.
And then you see, when I said, I knew she was going for Sanders, and I said some things, and I mentioned a few names. I said, Dr. Condoleezza Rice, Jill Stein, Elizabeth Warren. I said, just to name a few. And then up under that, I said, ladies, look among yourselves for leaders. I said, if you come up with one, us men, we will back you 100%. And then I said, but please do not come back with Hillary Clinton in 2020. Well, you know, one Facebook friend who's never said anything to anything I posted, she puts on there and says, you're an a-hole and an idiot, and I'm deleting you, you know? And
bye-bye.
Exactly. And I looked at that. You know, I went to her page, and I started to say something and blow her up. But I said, you know what? I'm a gentleman. She just showed me what her character is. So
exactly.
It's just like you and I said, we have disagreed on things, but we have not cursed one another out. I'm going to unfriend you because we said, okay, we learn by agreeing and disagreeing and speaking. But
And we respect each other. And we are going to run out of time, Floyd. We can't even scratch the surface. You're coming back, right? I'm going to give you a date. You're going to come back, right?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
I'm going to have you as a regular. I think I'm going to have you as a regular once a week.
That sounds nice. Awesome. That's awesome.
Okay.
That's awesome.
All right.
That's awesome.
Very quickly.
Okay.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for respecting my opinion as I respect yours. Thank you for this radio show. It's been amazing. Uplifting.
It's been amazing.
And makes me smile. And
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do not have a show tomorrow night. My guest had to put it off till December the 3rd because she has. But my friend Floyd Potts, go on Facebook, go on my page, find him, friend him, you'll love him. I will see you guys Wednesday night. I'm going to get Floyd back on the show next week so we can keep on going this because I'm going to have him as a weekly guest because I just absolutely adore him. He's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you.
This is Off the Chain.
Love you as well.
I love you too, my friend. You are.
Thank you. This has
been wonderful. I feel like I have bathed in the river of I don't know.
We had a beautiful conversation. Beautiful conversation.
Yes, we did.
Beautiful conversation.
Yes. And we're on ladies and gentlemen, we're on opposite sides of the political pole, but we don't care.
We're on opposite sides. We're on opposite sides.
But we're humans, we're friends, and we love each other.
But I will say this, Yvonne, which a lot of people didn't know. See, my mother was Democrat. She was a union delegate growing up in New York and everything. But when I first registered in 1980, I registered as a Republican. So I was a black guy way back then as a Republican.
Don't hang up when they cut the show off because we're going to talk for a few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Yvonne Mason on Off the Chain. I'm so excited I can't even talk. I will see you guys Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. I'm going to Floyd back on the show on next week. So until Wednesday night, I say good night.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay, we're off the air, but anything we say now, of course, is going to go in the archives. So your mother was a Democrat in New York.
She was a Democrat. As a matter of fact, my mother actually passed last year, and I said my goodbye to her last year. Today makes a year that we had her going home services. But she was a Democrat. She was a union delegate, and so was all my family. And here I pop up. See, I was always the contrarian. Here I pop up with independent thought. You know, I said, well, I wasn't going to just be a Democrat because everybody I knew was a Democrat, that the Democrats are deemed a party of black folks. I said, no, I have a right to have it pick for myself. I don't have to pick with the crowd.
That's
so
true.
So I went Reagan twice. I went Reagan twice, you know. And I've mixed it up. I've mixed it up. I've gone on both sides. I've gone on both sides in terms of voting, because I believe you have to listen to both sides. You have to.
That is true. Well, I want to tell you, Floyd, I can't tell you how invigorated I feel and how excited I feel, because I've been – my husband and I think too much alike, so we agree on just about everything. But to be able to sit and talk logically, our neighbors are Democrats, but talking to them is like talking to this wall. To be able to sit and talk with someone and have a discussion and have discourse, have differences of opinion, but we agree on more things than we disagree on, and to be able to do it in a fun way, just I've missed that. And I appreciate
it. It's like Carville and his wife. Remember, he's a Democrat and she's a Republican.
He's a Republican, yep. And they have some, I'm sure, some pretty heated discussions. But it's refreshing, and I hope the listeners that listen to this show pick up on our excitement and the fact that this is how you grow. This is how you have discourse. This is how you have disagreements, and this is how you move forward.
Yes.
And what will happen, I know you've seen me put the podcast up, but when we get off, the show's going to go to iTunes, it's going to go to Stitcher, and it will.
Okay.
I will upload it to Podcast, Podomatic, Spreaker, Mixcloud, and SoundCloud, and when I upload it to Spreaker, it will go to YouTube and to TuneIn Radio.
Awesome.
It's five different podcasts, and then what will happen is when I upload them, I'm going to tag you in it, and I want you to put this radio show out there everywhere so that we can just spread this fun-filled and exciting show all over the world.
Yes.
Well, the show goes all over the world anyway. But
to
let people know, it's okay to disagree as long as it's not mudslinging and hate-filled and...
It's growth oriented. It's growth oriented. You know, people play chess. You know, I see people that get on there. Oh, I'm scared because Donald Trump, the Republicans got the House, they got the Senate, they got Trump. They're gonna go round up all of us. The Klan is out there, and you know, are you serious?
Well, my mother made a very important observation.
Okay.
Mother said this. Oh, whatever that guy, David Wright, I think his name is. She says, what people tend to forget is this is America.
Right.
And irregardless of whether or not I voted for the current president, he is still the president of the United States.
Of the United States.
He still represents me as president of the United States, regardless of how I feel about his policies and what he has done or not done. He still represents me as an American, as the president of the United States.
Yeah.
That also means that irregardless of David Wright's affiliation with the KKK, which I hate, Donald Trump still represents David Wright as an American.
Right.
He is still, just like Barack Obama, they are still the people's president, and they still live in the people's house.
in the people's house at on the people's expense, and that means right. he's our president. I remember when President Bush was overseas, you know, a lot of people was distancing themselves from him, calling him a buffoon. And I remember mm-hmm. what made me mad regarding him in the country was when he was overseas and he had shoes thrown at him, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
not once, but twice. And, you know, people were laughing. They made a big joke of it. And it really irked me because I said, that's our president, man.
Exactly.
I said, I don't care whether you agree with him or not. I don't agree with him, Cheney, stuff they've done. I said, but that's when they throw shoes at him, they're throwing shoes at us.
And I would be just as mad if President Obama went overseas and someone threw a shoe at him or disrespected him in that way. Because irregardless of how I personally feel about what he's done or not done, that is the face of my nation.
That's throwing shoes at us.
And exactly. I just think you slapped me personally in the face because that's what you did.
That's what you just did.
And when the Dixie Chicks go outside of this country, now it's okay for us to fuss and fight amongst ourselves because we're all Americans, but when they go overseas and they made the comment they made about the President of the United States overseas, I quit listening to them.
Right. Because keep that, like you said, let's argue behind closed doors. Let's argue behind closed doors. But when we get out, we have to show a united front. Out in public. Now, if we're a complete buffoon, then we have to pull one another's coattail out and protect one another. I was incensed that the Secret Service, in that case, there was two shoes thrown at him, and it was a good thing he was quick and he moved. That could have been something other than shoes. But to have it with someone, there could have been bullets. And I felt like it was a point where it was a thing where they didn't care about this man. This was our president. Your job is to protect him, but you've gotten to the point because you don't agree with him as the Secret Service, and you've gotten to the point where the people because of the country, because you don't agree with him. So this is funny to you that you know, now with the current one that's coming in, the only thing I've got some issues with him. The one thing I do have an issue with, and I said this earlier to some people I was talking with, for the first time in the history of this country, we got a first lady who's a foreigner. We got a first lady who's also from the former Soviet Union. I've got a problem with that, but that's between you and me and whoever's listening to the station right now. But I have a problem with that. We're off the air, but I've got a problem with that because nonetheless, I'm not going to jump out anywhere and keep going on about that. I'm not going to go on YouTube and I'm not gonna do it. Once he gets elected in there, and I said to somebody the other day, inaugurated, I said, okay, now he said he's gonna do some things. Okay, it's his turn.
It's his turn. And on the flip side of Melania, if we take it and spin it in a different direction, she is the first lady who speaks five languages fluently.
Yeah.
Think about that. She can sit with heads of states from other countries and make them feel comfortable in the people's house because she can speak their language. How many first ladies can we say were able to do that? And the reason that is important to me is, and you know from your mother and your grandmother, when you invite someone into your home, in the South especially, and trust me, ladies and gentlemen, it was very important. It was you'd get your butt beat if you didn't do what I'm fixing to tell you. When you invite someone into your home, they are supposed to, as soon as they walk in the door, be made to feel comfortable.
Right.
If they want to put their feet up, let them put their feet up. If they want to take their shoes off, they should be able to take their shoes off. And because Americans are so generally so narrow-minded and so stiff-necked, they refuse to learn a second language.
That's our problem.
They want everybody else to learn English.
That's our problem.
But
that's our problem.
The first lady coming in speaks five languages fluently. Her son speaks at least two languages. Now, granted, she's from the former Soviet Union. Okay, that could, like you, bother you. But I'm willing to overlook that because there will be people invited into our house and our home that she can make them feel comfortable because she speaks the language.
I'm going to throw this out there, though, Yvonne. I know we're off the air, and I know probably we can pick it up at another time if you want to, because it's your show. What if she's a spy?
What if?
She's got our president. She's got our president. She's what if we're going to end up having a spy sleeping with our president?
What if Putin puts his finger on the...
We hope and pray that's not the case.
Well, remember our faith. We got to go back, Floyd, to our faith. We have to believe that God's got this because God's got the big picture. We don't.
Yeah, but God gave man a free will.
God also knows even man with his free will. God knows what man will do with that free will even before man knows.
Well, we got to hope that she's not a spy.
And we'll pray
about it. We got to hope that that's not the case with her. But nonetheless, as you said, either way, he is still going to be our president. And as such, I respect that office. I'm not going to disrespect that office because I don't maybe agree with the man's positions. But I agree, especially as a veteran. I wouldn't have sworn an oath to serve and protect if I was going to then say, well, no, I'm going to serve and protect as long as I agree with the president. That's not how it works. He's our president. Okay, what he says, he represents us. If it's something I disagree with, then we climb behind closed doors.
Right.
I can say something, but out in public, I'm not going to stand out there and say, oh, my president's an idiot. He's a this, he's a that. I'm not going to do that. I haven't done that, and I'm not going to do that.
I respect you. I respect your opinions. Mm-hmm. I value your opinions. Your opinions are very important to me. And it is my hope and prayer that just from this one radio show that people start thinking along those same lines because, number one, I don't want to lay down tonight and go to sleep and wake up in the morning and something happened to Floyd Potts and I go, oh, shit, why was I so ugly? Why was I so nasty? It wasn't that important. Why did I put my friendship? I don't want that.
I may end up the president. I may say, where's that Yvonne Mason? She was nasty with me on her show. I've got to deport her. She's a citizen? Well, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a loophole.
So on that note, my friend, we're going to end tonight's show. I'm going to go back to my calendar, see what night next week I got open, and I'm going to plug you in. I'm going to send you the date. And let's do this again because it's so much fun.
Awesome. Anyone but Wednesday night because, you know, that's when I'm on. Anyone but Wednesday night.
No, I won't do Wednesday night. It'll be a Friday or a Saturday night or Thursday
night. Sounds good.
All right.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you. Thank you again, my sister. Thank you, my sister. And I look forward to being on again. It's been a pleasure.
And I am going to reiterate, you are my brother from another mother, and
yes.
I wish people could understand.
Yes.
Because it's a Southern thing, too, Floyd. We might be all from different families, but we're pretty clannish in the South, and just because you moved north for a little while, you still got your Southern roots.
Yeah, my mother used to always say that.
So
I used to call myself a snorterner. Northerner.
Oh my Lord. All right, my dear. I will get in there and get you a date, and I am so honored and so humbled and so appreciative, and I thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And we'll talk
God
next
bless.
We'll pick you too. We'll pick this up next week, and we might even get around to talking about your book, because I'm sure there's some people that could use it.
Amen. Amen.
All right,
Amen.
Doll, until next week.
Thank you.
We'll talk
Thank
later.
You. Enjoy your weekend, all right?
You too, my dear, and we'll talk on Facebook.
Okay, we sure will. Bye-bye.
Good night, my friend.
Good night.